Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
We're going to talk about this evening some more, but I love this one phrase in Colossians chapter 1. He tells us in verse 13, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We talk about recovery, and we talk about forgiveness, and we talk about the redemptive process that God brings us through. But I love this word. He has rescued us. He has rescued us. And in many cases, he has rescued us from ourselves and brought about new life in us, brought about his purposes in our life. And it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see what he's doing. Why do we do recovery ministry? Because in Christ, it works. In Christ, there can be complete healing. In Christ, we can be victorious. And it's only in Christ that we can be victorious. So it's an amazing and wonderful thing to be able to connect with people that you've known both on the inside and on the outside, and seeing that Jesus changes lives. Jesus changes lives. And I'm just going to give you a quick little indication of what's going on. We're going to start filming the television program in about 2 weeks called Recovery Made New, because it's the story of lives changed because of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be televised in Alaska 6 times a week, 3 times in North Pole and Fairbanks, and 3 times in Anchorage and the Valley. And it will be on YouTube, and it will be on Christian Broadcasting's website, and it will be on Faith Recovery's website as well. So God is at work. He's moving. He's changing lives. He's bringing about forgiveness of sin and people's lives by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason we're doing it. Literally the only reason that we're going to the effort of producing this television program is because it's about the gospel. It's about Christ-centered recovery, and it will speak into the lives of people in the state of Alaska. That's our purpose. That's our goal. And you can pray for us in that regard. So as we look tonight at this passage of scripture, I'm going to pick this back up a little bit by doing a little recap on chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. In these 5 verses, Paul emphasizes the depth of prayer for the Colossian believers. His desire was for a deeper, more spiritual understanding of their relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul's emphasis is on the spiritual understanding and spiritual growth. The emphasis is to grow in wisdom and to walk worthy of the Lord as we live out this life bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God. Paul's desire is for them and us to be strong in the Lord and able to grow in the knowledge of God, as well as to grow in endurance and patience in daily life. All of this is with a thankful heart, because we are in Christ. We have a future and a hope in Jesus. And this brings us to Paul's next teaching, which is in verse 15, the centrality of Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing to think about how Paul wrote this book. And think about this as a letter, because it was handwritten in the Greek language. There were no chapter headings. There were no verse markings. It was simply a letter written like you were going to write a letter to your parents or your spouse or somebody else. It was just a letter he wrote. So when we come to this passage of scripture and we recognize what he's saying in the last 2 verses of chapter 1, 13 and 14, before we get into the new section 15, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in him, that is Christ, the Son he loves. We have forgiveness of sins and redemption. We have been bought with a price. It's amazingly important for us to recognize that Jesus is our Savior. I know how broken I was. I know how messed up my life was. And I know that only he could bring about change in my life. And by doing that, he put me in a place where I would be able to do something to not pay him back, but to be fruitful and helpful in other people's lives. So I want to just look at this, rescued us from darkness, and look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 for a moment. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, for he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. To be holy and blameless in his sight, in love he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, for the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us in the beloved. We have redemption in him through his blood. Forgiveness of our trespasses is according to the riches of his grace. Jesus had to die on that cross and shed his blood for us to pay the penalty of our sin. Think about that a moment. He had to bleed for us. He had to pay the price for us. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. That was God's program from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Eve was deceived and Adam sinned. And they covered themselves with fig leaves because they knew that they were naked. And the Lord confronted them, and they admitted where they were in their sin and lostness at that point. And the Lord provided them with animal skins to cover themselves with. Those animal skins came from the death of an animal to be able to cover them from their sin. And the Old Testament, that's what happened. There were continual sacrifices for the covering of sin, not for the propitiation of sin, not for the final payment for sin, which Jesus made on the cross, but for the covering of sin, because there is no forgiveness apart from the shedding of blood. That's what the Word of God teaches us. That's what it tells us. And as we move forward in this passage of Scripture, I want you to think just a moment more. Because the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ is by his blood, because we are dead, according to Romans chapter 6, 23 and 5, 12, in our sin. We are dead in our sin. We are lost. We are spiritually dead. And we walk in a world of spiritually dead people who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. And we are forgiven our sin. Because Romans tells us again in 5:8, we are sinners. In and of ourselves, we are sinners and we are separated from God completely. And we are lost in our sin. And then he tells us in Ephesians, which we just read, we are saved by grace. What can you do to be saved? You can believe, but that's all you can do. Because you can't work enough, do enough, or be enough to be saved apart from God's grace that he lavishes upon us, that he has poured out upon us, and that he has given to us freely so that we can be Christians, we can be saved, we can be born again, we can have new life. That's what John 3:16 tells us, probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. God loves us. And he gave Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sin. And at the same time, he tells us that apart from Christ, we are lost, but in Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. But even more than that, if there can be anything more than that, we are promised a relationship with Jesus Christ right now, today, from the very moment that we ask Christ to come into our life. We are alive to Him right now. You didn't think you could understand the Bible when you first looked at it, before you knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. But once we ask Christ into our life, we are made alive. We become new in Him. And then the Word of God begins to make sense to us. The Word of God begins to be revealed to us, and we can understand what God is saying to us, because now we're alive and we're new creatures in Him, and we have the opportunity. So as we get to this passage, I think it's fantastic. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Him. And then Paul just goes right straight into verse 15. He, that's Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. That's who Jesus is. When these Colossian believers came to accept Christ through the ministry of Epaphras, they didn't know anything about Christ except that they could be forgiven and they could be brought into a new relationship with Him and they could have the promise of freedom and eternal life. So Paul wrote this passage of Scripture in Colossians 1, very similar to the passage of Scripture that John wrote in John chapter 1. This is where John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men." Nobody has ever seen God at any time. But John tells us in verse 18 of chapter 1, "No one has seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. He has revealed Him," the Father. He has revealed the Father. And if you look at Exodus and read about the burning bush, it's interesting because we think, well, that was the Father. But when you read about the burning bush, it was the angel of the Lord in the burning bush who was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. It was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate in the Old Testament, that revealed to Moses the Ten Commandments, that revealed to Moses the plan that God had for the Israelites. It's the same Jesus who paid the penalty for our sin. It's the same Jesus who created the world that we live in. It's the same Jesus who made it possible for us to even live on this planet. He's the image of the invisible God, just like John chapter 1 tells us in verse 18. He is the firstborn of all creation. He was first because He was first. He was before creation. And by Him, all things that we know were created. Evolution is a lie right out of the pit of hell because it takes away from the fact that God created, Jesus created, and everything that we know and see was created by Him, and it was created for Him. Everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Even the air we breathe, even the air we breathe, we have it because He created. We have it because He gave it to us. Just like John tells us, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Something that an evolutionist cannot tell you. Where did life begin? They've got a ton of theories, and that's all they are. But who actually put the spark of life into this creation? In Him was life, and it was the light of men. Why do they throw, it used to be thousands of years, then it became millions of years, and then it became, now it's billions of years, and who knows, it's going to be trillions of years at some point, to confuse us into believing that somehow this all happened. It did not all happen. It came about because in Him was creation and in Him was life. And He breathed life into this creation and He breathed it into not just the animal life and the human life. He breathed it into the plant life. And everything in this creation that continues to grow and continues to blossom and continues to happen year after year after year. We just went through the process, and we're in the process right now of the trees budding and becoming green and the leaves coming out and all of those things that we just take for granted because it happens every single spring. But it doesn't just happen every single spring. It happens because God put it that way. Jesus made it that way. It continues to go on year after year after year after year. You can buy annual plants that you have to replace every single year. And you can buy perennial plants that will continue to regrow every year. Look at the trees around you. Look at the trees that are evergreen trees that continue to grow in the spring and through the year, and at the same time, all the deciduous trees that continue to grow but bud in the spring and blossom, and all the different things that come out of this creation. It's amazing. And Jesus made that possible. And I say that with clarity. All things that have been created through Him and for Him, He is before all things, and by Him, all things hold together. I want to read you a little story. I think it's a great story because this is how confusing the world really is. In Him, all things hold together. A guide took a group of people through an atomic laboratory and explained how all matter was composed of rapidly moving electronic particles. The tourists studied models of molecules and were amazed to learn that matter is made up primarily of space. During the question period, one visitor asked, "Is this the way matter works? What holds it together?" For that, the guide had no answer. But the Christian has an answer. Jesus Christ, because He holds everything together, because He is before all things, He can hold all things together. Only God existed before all creation, and only God can make creation cohere together. To make Jesus Christ less than God is to dethrone Him. To say, "Well, I believe in evolution." When I first became a Christian back in 1973, somebody said to me, "How come you don't believe in evolution?" Now, I was a brand new believer at that point in my life. I hadn't been a Christian for even a few months. But I answered him clearly. I simply do not have that much faith to believe in evolution. I believe what's written in this book because it's the only thing that makes any sense. It's the only thing that actually tells us why we even exist. God has a plan for us, and His plan is perfect, and His desire for us is perfect, and He wants us to recognize who He is, recognize Him for Savior and Lord. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior today, talk to myself or somebody who can actually explain to you the gospel of Christ and offer you the opportunity to make that choice. Because, frankly, nobody knows what will happen even an hour from now, let alone a day from now. We need Jesus Christ in our life. Because if we die without Christ, we will be separated from God for eternity. We will be lost for eternity. But God has given us everything we need and made possible for us to experience life. Experience real life. Remember what John said. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. What did Paul tell us in Colossians chapter 1? We were in the domain of darkness. We were lost in a domain of darkness, and we were rescued from that domain of darkness because Jesus is life. And that life is the light of men, no longer living in darkness, no longer captivated by darkness, no longer blinded by darkness, but alive because of Him. It's an amazing story. It's a wonderful story. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He has given us everything we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's given us that freely and made it possible for us to have that relationship with Him, that incredible relationship with Him that promises us life with Him for eternity. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And who can break that seal? Nobody can break that seal. Romans 8 tells us the same thing. But not only did God save us by His grace and enable us to have an eternal relationship with Him in heaven, He has lavished upon us all these multitude of spiritual blessings. He has blessed us with everything we need to be able to live this Christian life and be strong in the relationship we have with Christ. He's given us everything we need to be able to be victorious, to win. And that's why I believe that what we're doing with radio and what we're doing with upcoming TV programs are so important, because there are so many people who are lost and dead in their transgressions and in their sin. And as I was shared with by a brother of mine who has been in addiction, he said, many people who are in addiction simply don't know how to take the first step. They simply don't know how to take the first step. We are here to help them make that first step. We're here to help them see that there is a first step. There is an opportunity. You don't have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Jesus will lift you up. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, I strive to know Him. I strive to know Christ because He has laid hold of me. When we run into situations in our life where we feel like we just can't make it, we feel like we're lost, we feel like we're struggling, we're depressed, we're anxious about something, we're struggling with our life, think about this. Jesus has laid hold of me, and He has made it possible for me to have victory. He's made it possible for me to live above and beyond my feelings, my emotions, and everything else that goes with it, and above my circumstances. He is the one who made it possible for me or you to have life, to really, truly experience life. Scripture tells us that we are a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ, because of what Jesus did. And the only thing that we have to do and had to do was simply believe what He said He would do and ask Him to forgive me for my sin, because it's my sin that has kept me from coming to Him to begin with. And in that brokenness, sometimes we bow our neck and think that we will not submit. We will not tell Him that. He's like the prodigal father who runs to us to embrace us and to show us that He completely forgives all of our sin. And He completely encourages us to come into the family and be part of the family. In Ephesians chapter 1 again, and we didn't talk about this yet, but it's an amazing passage of Scripture. Because of what Jesus Christ did, we have a relationship with God because we are the Father's adopted children in Ephesians chapter 1. We read in other places that we're co-heirs with Christ. We are adopted children of the Father who made it possible for us through Christ to come into His family. Don't miss the opportunity to have new life. Don't miss the opportunity to have your sins forgiven. Don't miss the opportunity to ask Jesus to come in to make you new and to make you alive in Him and give you the opportunity to experience life the way that God intended for you to experience it. Don't miss the opportunity. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin so that we do not have to. We do not have to pay that penalty because he paid it already. If we are willing to accept it as a gift from him by grace, nothing we can do will ever earn grace. God gives it freely. And just take a moment and think about this. Before the foundation of the world, before Jesus ever spoke any of this into existence, he already knew he was going to go to the cross, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He did all of that for the simple reason that he wanted us, you and me and every other person that has believed through the centuries, to be part of his family, to have a relationship with him. He didn't have to do this, but he did it because he loves us. Even before we ever came into existence, he loved us, and he will continue to love us for the rest of eternity.
As Colossians 1:17-20 reminds us, Christ is not only the center of all creation, he is the one who holds it together, the one through whom all things find their purpose and peace. In him, reconciliation is more than a promise. It is a reality. His blood poured out on the cross restores what was broken, unites what was separated, and draws us closer to the heart of God. So as we reflect on these verses, let's walk forward with confidence in his sovereignty. Let's live in the fullness of his redemption, knowing that in Christ, all things, our past, our present, and our future, are held together by his perfect love, and death itself is conquered forevermore. We would also like to invite you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure that more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Amen.